Not only is gas over $7 a gallon in parts of LA, diesel fuel, truly the lifeblood of the global supply chain, because that's what trucks run on, diesel is drying up. Guys in the know are predicting rationing at any moment. Millions and millions of chickens killed but never eaten due to some weird avian flu. No infant formula to feed babies. Dozens of food processing plants burning down across the country for no discernible reason. Inflation at the highest levels in 40 years. Wall Street in free fall. Politicians seriously discussing the options of nuclear war with Russia. Cardi B, what do you think about this mess?
Shit is getting real!
Woo! That's right. This nation is in deeper trouble than it has been, certainly in my lifetime. But we should not worry, because the pinheads and parasites in Washington are being sent on all expense paid vacations to
the fabulous war-torn Ukraine!
The safari park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry. Fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry.
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 It's incredible. When the going gets tough, showbiz poseurs and politician parasites get going to Ukraine. First, it was Sean Penn, BFF of Hugo Chavez, the now-dead commie who single-handedly took Venezuela from a prosperous, stable nation to a terrifying landscape of scarcity and strife. Did you see combat-ready Sean with his helmet on? Ready to throw down with those evil Ruskies. Wow. They don't make thespians like him anymore. Wonder if he trained with the Ukraine freedom fighters. Can you see Sean arriving at the camp with other recruits? His stretch limo follows a bus full of soldiers in the making. Behind his limo is a Mercedes Sprinter. As they approach the camp, loudspeakers blast unfamiliar music, and Sean, a bit annoyed, asks his assistant what that stupid music is. She grabs her iPhone, does a quick check with SoundHound, and informs him that it's the Ukrainian national anthem. Sean shrugs and makes a face. After his stylist touches up his hair and makeup, she snugs the chin strap on his helmet, gives him a smile and a thumbs up. And somebody grabs a walkie-talkie and says,
"Camera crew, in position."
The door slides open on the Sprinter, and a guy with an Arri Alexa on a Steadicam jumps out, followed by the sound guy with a dead cat on a fishbowl. Behind them is a chick with a clipboard and a viewfinder. The chick nods at Sean, and he boldly strides through the door and lines up with those other brave Ukrainian patriots. He's handed his fatigues and dop kit, then shown a bunk in the barracks. That's where Sean's first stand-in elbows his way through the crowd and stretches out on a moth-eaten iron cot. Sean's personal assistant thumbs her iPhone, confirming tonight's reservation at the Kiev Ritz-Carlton. By the way, we don't say Kiev here, same as we don't say gender. A drill instructor blows a whistle and directs everyone outside for calisthenics. Sean takes his place in line and performs three jumping jacks. The Steadicam guy shoots him from ground up, giving Sean John Wayne proportions. The DI's whistle blows and everyone hits the deck for push-ups. Sean remains standing and looks daggers at the limo. That's when his buffed out stunt double bolts from the car and goes belly down doing one-handed push-ups. The cameraman carefully shoots him from above in the side, never showing his face. Then Sean hits the deck and performs a one-arm push-up as the double, off-camera, hoists him off the ground by the back of his belt. The camera focuses on Sean's face and shoulders as he grins and gives a thumbs up with his free hand. As he heads back to his limo, Sean thinks to himself, if that video doesn't land me a leading role in a tentpole movie, then God really is dead. Later that evening, over lobster and filet at the Ritz, Sean and that very pointy stylist discuss today's shoot. He asks her why he didn't hear any bombs or gunfire, and she tells him, well, they're hundreds of miles from the front. He makes a note to have them edit in some bombs and gunfire, maybe even some bullets zipping past his head like in Private Ryan. After dessert, it's off to the subway to show solidarity with Bono and Edge from U2, where they'll be performing to show they stand with Ukraine and democracy. There are dozens of first-rate concert venues in Kiev. Why a gloomy subway tunnel? Because it'll make people think it's like London during the Blitz. It'll look dangerous. Best of all, the reverb will cover Bono's pitchy vocals and Edge's novice guitar work. No matter how mediocre the music, diehard U2 fans will download and follow the tour. After this show, Bono, confidant of premiers and popes, well, he'll be a war hero. As they say, politics is show business for ugly people. Few demonstrate that concept more vividly than chinless Mitch McConnell, who was right behind day-drinking champion Nancy Pelosi and elder abuse legend Jill Biden, who both got to Ukraine for some photo ops. Nancy and Jill weren't about to share the spotlight with competitors, but Mitch, well, he dragged along an entourage of fellow parasites. They wore matching outfits, blue blazers, khakis, and loafers. They looked ready to stir every martini at the country club. Unlike Sean, no helmets or flak jackets, and no seeking shelter in subways. They must be really brave. More likely, they just don't know how to art direct a photo op the way the pros do. But does any of that matter? No. People have short memories. Nobody really knows what the hell is happening in Ukraine except those who are there. We could be told any bullshit, and how do we disprove it? By the time those politicos are running for re-election, they will claim they risked life and limb to help preserve democracy and make sure that the $40 billion we're handing them is put to good use. That's $40 billion plus an additional $14 billion already sent over there. $54 billion to prop up one of the most corrupt governments on Earth. Politicians are usually light on real-world experience, but they're always heavy with bullshit and platitudes. Here's Mitch's prepared statement.
Defending the principle of sovereignty, promoting stability in Europe, and imposing cost on Russia's naked aggression have a direct and vital bearing on America's national security and vital interests.
Well, there's a mouthful of steam. Mitch wants to defend sovereignty for a foreign country? What's he doing about our sovereignty at the southern border?
Promoting stability in Europe.
Germany, England, and France are the 4th, 5th, and 7th richest nations in the world. Why can't they stabilize the situation?
Imposing costs on Russia's naked aggression.
Wow. Now there's some purple prose. Naked aggression. Haven't seen any pictures of nude Russian soldiers. Have you?
A direct and vital bearing on America's national security and vital interests.
Mitch should walk us through that one. Seems like only yesterday that Afghanistan had a direct and vital bearing on America's national security. Wasn't that place an incubator for terrorists? All those Al-Qaeda and ISIS guys sneaking around our backyards and airports, ready to crash planes into skyscrapers and blow up nightclubs with their suicide bombs? What happened to those guys? Maybe Russia has terror cells operating in the U.S. Maybe they don't need that. All they need is the almighty Putin, who clearly rigged the 2016 election and installed his puppet Trump as president. But for some unknown reason, he just couldn't manage to do it again in 2020. Mitch repeatedly uses the most dangerous phrase in foreign policy.
National interests.
What the fuck does that mean? That rarely has anything to do with the interests of the American people, and everything to do with defense contractors like L3Harris, General Dynamics, and Raytheon. For those outfits, war is good business. Yertle McConnell concluded his statement with this.
It is squarely in our national interest.
There it is again. National interest.
To help Ukraine achieve victory in this war, and to help Ukraine and other countries deter other wars of aggression before they start.
So there you have it. He has declared the U.S. is indeed the global police. And should the Ukraine thing cool off, it's our job to stop wars before they start, wherever the fuck that might be. And when the nation is on the ropes at home, through the incompetence of Joey and his minions and jackholes like McConnell, war, well, that is the ultimate distraction, is it not? Come on, everybody, let's pitch in and help preserve democracy. Rah, rah, sis, boom, fucking bah. What are you, pro-Russia? Put your mask on. Get vaxxed again. Get boosted again. Do as you're told.
Corn Pop was a bad dude, and he ran a bunch of bad boys. And I did, and back in those days, to show how things have changed, one of the things you had to use, if you used pomade in your hair, you had to wear a bathing cap. And it get hot, I got hairy legs that turn, that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap.
You're okay. You're not gonna get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
Play the radio. Make sure the television, excuse me, make sure you have the record player on at night.
Scary times. But it's not all bad news. There is such a ferocious pushback against Joey's Ministry of Truth that now it's on, quote, pause, unquote. And Nina Jankowicz resigned. She couldn't take the heat. Of course, the Ministry of Truth will resume operation after the midterm elections, now a scant 6 months off. Maybe Joey or his handlers are in panic mode, huh? Then there's the cosmic hocus-pocus element, which cannot be discounted. Sometimes it seems unrelated events somehow dovetail or snowball. An 80-1 horse wins the Kentucky Derby. The almost unbeatable Canelo Alvarez gets stopped by a contender no one took seriously. And Joey backs down from his latest dictatorial gambit. And now those furious at the possibility of Roe v. Wade overturned, well, they are promising us a summer of rage. Wow. So close after Joey's winter of illness and death. The summer of 1969 was considered for decades to be the most action-packed season America might ever have faced. There was Woodstock, the first moon landing, Senator Ted Kennedy swimming away from his submerged Oldsmobile as a trapped girl drowned inside, Charles Manson's kooky killing spree, and a hurricane that killed 259. Before there was even climate change. Compared to these times, it all seems kind of tame, almost quaint. For the most part, Americans agreed that Woodstock was weird, Manson was a psycho, Kennedy was a coward, the moon landing was really cool, and the hurricane was an act of God. How times have changed. Everyone at each other's throats. Even about the fucking weather. Who's to blame? Politicians and a corrupt media. 100%. If we can find a way to eliminate both, America might have a chance. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. Follow the show between episodes on Facebook and Twitter. No Agenda Social. Just plug That Larry Show in a search bar and you'll find it. Or there are direct links on the homepage. You can find hundreds of other episodes at that homepage, which is thatlarryshow.com. While there, click the subscribe button so you never miss a show. If you like what you just heard, you can help me keep the lights on while I fight liars and commies. Hey, that's redundant. Click the Patreon or PayPal buttons or donate through the post office box. That address is also on the show page. You can also help out by leaving a 5-star review wherever you download. And most of all, tell your friends about the show and send them a link. If you want to write, the address is thatlarryshow@gmail.com. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts. And until that time, take no shit.